Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Number 40. Atmanam chet vijaniyat param jnana duttashayaha kimichan kasyava hetur deham pushnati lampataha atmanam. The soul and the super soul. Chet, if vijaniyat, can understand. Param, who are transcendental, beyond this material world. Jnana, by knowledge. Dudashaya, one who has cleansed his consciousness. Kim, what? Ichchan, desiring material comforts. Kasya, for whom? Va, or? Heto, for what reason? Deham, the material body. Pushnati, he maintains. Lampata, being unlawfully addicted to sense gratification. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The human form of body is meant for understanding the Self and the Supreme Self, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendently situated. If both of them can be understood when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Purport. Of course, everyone in this material world is interested in maintaining the body for sense gratification. But cultivating knowledge, one should gradually understand that the body is not the self. Both the soul and the super soul are transcendental to the material world. This is to be understood in the human form of life, especially when one takes sannyas. Sannyasi who has understood the self should be engaged in elevating the self and associating with the super self. Our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for elevating the living being for promotion back home, back to Godhead. Seeking such elevation is one's duty in the human form of life. Unless one performs this duty, why should one maintain the body? Especially if a sannyasi not only maintains the body by ordinary means, but does everything to maintain the body, including even eating meat and other abominable things. He must be a lampataha, a greedy person simply engaged in sense gratification. Sannyasi must specifically remove himself from the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, which disturb one as long as one is not fully aware that the body is separate from the soul. Atmanam chet vijaniyat param jnana dutashayaha kim ichchan kasya vahetur deham pushnati lampataha. The human form of body is meant for understanding the Self and the Supreme Self, Supreme Personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendently situated. If both of them can be understood, when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason, for what, and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Here we're talking about a sannyasi, specifically controlling the urge to eat. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Vacha Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yobishiheta Dira, Sarvam Apimam, Prativim, Sashishat. That one who can control the urge to speak, Vacha Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, the mind's demands and the urges of anger. Jiva Vegam, the urges of the tongue, Udara Pasta, Udara, of the belly and the genitals. Etan vegam yovishehetadira. He's considered to be a sober person. Shishat. Vacha vegam manasakrota vegam. Jiva vegam udapasta vegam. Etan vegam yovishehetadira. Sarvam apimam prativim sashishat. So he is qualified to have disciples all over the world. The tongue is always stressed, as it's stressed here, because, as it says, the Tapshi Krishna Namadi, Nabraved Grayam Indriyai, Sevan Mukhe Hujivado, Swayam Eva Sparatida. That one can, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, no one can understand Krishna with the blunt material senses. Takshi Krishna Nabraved Grayam Indriyai. With the senses that are dulled by illusion. Takshi Krishna Namadi, Nabravet Grayam Indriya, Saiva Mukhe Hi Jivado. But by service, the Krishna, beginning with the tongue, everything is Pratida, everything is revealed. So this may, as Prabhupada always pointed out when he ever quoted this verse, or generally he did, is that people are surprised that you can perform yoga by controlling your tongue. If the yogis understood that, they'd probably try and stand on their tongue to show that they're actually controlling it. Sometimes we have yogis standing on the head, the modern yogis, and sometimes they stand even on one finger. They try to, but if you can stand on your tongue, then you're really a yogi. But so far no one has been able to stand on their tongue and move their body up and down on with their tongue. No one's tongue is so powerful. In any case, controlling the tongue means that specifically one should regulate what one eats and what one speaks. Prabhupada gives the example of the frog. If you ever go to a lake where there are frogs, you can hear that they're all singing very loudly. Wah, wah, whatever. And they're all very proud of their singing. They all think, oh, my singing is beautiful. But Prabhupada said, actually, the singing is just inviting the black snake to come and devour them. So similarly, those who are croaking about material sense gratification, they're simply inviting the black snake of time to come and devour them. And if we talk about things other than Krishna, then the result is that we'll become attracted to sense gratification. And sense gratification generally begins with the tongue. Arjuna was wondering, because Krishna was telling him in the Bhagavad Gita, as I've quoted these verses before, that why Krishna is telling Arjuna you should do your duty, even as an example for others. And Krishna says, Indriyasya Indriyasyarte, Raga Dvesho Vyudasyacha, Indriyani Pramati Hiranti Prabhasamunak. The senses are so strong, Arjuna, Indriyasrindiyasyarte, ragadvesho vyudasyate. Taryorna vasham agachet toyasya paripantino. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment or aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, control your senses. Don't work according to what your senses are attracted to, or according to what they're averse to. Work according to what you're supposed to be doing. Naturally, if a certain object of the senses is presented to us, the senses will say, go for it. Or the modern society, their philosophy is that if it feels good, then you do it. So this is called the motive passion. And generally people are governed by the mode of passion and mind is aside. If not passion, then ignorance. So Krishna said, yataragre vishamiva parename ritopamam tatsukam satukam protam atma buddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and which in the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So generally, in the material world, when there is some urges for sense gratification, these senses are pushing us towards a certain object, senses including the mind especially, then the result is that there is some dissatisfaction, which Krishna says is caused by lust. Not only we're covered, so we don't see things clearly, we forget. As soon as lust appears, and usually greed, anger, delusion, and forgetfulness come also, we forget what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. And even if we remember what we're supposed to do, we don't take it seriously, because usually our intelligence goes away. We know that one more piece of cake is not going to, will cause me some trouble, because the last piece of cake is already going out one ear. But still, we think, well, anyhow, you only live once. I'll fast tomorrow. It looks too good. So we lose our intelligence. We've gone through it before. We've eaten that extra piece of cake. We've lamented about it. We've vowed never to do it again. And yet we do it again. So this is called madness. You do the same thing over and over and over again, and you expect a different result the next time. So, Krishna warns Arjuna, don't fall into attachment and aversion. So Arjuna was a little confused. I don't really want to fall under attachment and aversion. Where is it all coming from? So Krishna said, Shayan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat Shvedharame Nidinam Shayat Paradharamo Bayavaha. It is better to perform one's own prescribed duty imperfectly than perform someone else's duty perfectly. Destruction at the cost of one's own duty is better, but to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, for the common person, well, in the Vedic culture, there was Varnashram, Dharma, and all this. But what was what we really meant for, ultimately, is meant to control our senses. Not to fall under the desire to do something we're not supposed to do. And ultimately, the most practical thing is don't eat too much. Don't eat too little, as Krishna says. That's the yogi. Know what to eat. And don't eat too much or eat too little. Eat at the proper time. Otherwise, there'll be difficulty. As Prabhupada said, if you're an ant, you should eat like an ant. And if you're an elephant, you should eat like an elephant. But if you're an ant and you try to eat like an elephant, there'll be some difficulty. And if you're an elephant, you try to eat like an ant, you'll also get into difficulty. So we have to look at the food before we eat it, and decide how much of it we can actually eat. Not that, bring it all on. I'm powerful. Not hungry, but I'm powerful. So, and Krishna is merciful. So I'll eat as much as I can. And Krishna, at his merciful incarnation of Jata Agni, will surely digest it because I'm a nice devotee. No, actually the stomach is only so big. Does anyone know how big the stomach is? Yes, two handfuls. So the stomach is only that big, otherwise where would it fit? We think it's that big. Oh yes. It's replaced, I don't have a heart, so it replaced my heart. I just have a stomach. No, that's all that was fit in. And if we try to fit more in, then it doesn't work. Fit in the physical platform. in the real world, it won't work very well. So therefore, one should have a vision, a reality. What can I actually eat? Then one becomes very advanced in spiritual life. If one can actually develop a vision before one eats. Not that. One more. I hope it all fits. Doesn't feel like it fits. Anyhow. So one should develop a vision. How much can I actually eat based upon reality, based upon our experience, and then eat that much and try to chew the food also. If one is not paying attention to the food, it doesn't matter how much one is eating, one will never be satisfied because one has never tasted the food. We live for taste, and prasadam is supposed to give us a taste. And if we're thinking about something else when we're eating, we're doing something else when we're eating, reading a book while we're eating, watching a movie while we're eating, doing so many things while we're eating, then we won't relish the taste. And the result is if we don't get any taste, then our mind will become infused with desires to get some taste somewhere. And if we don't chew the food, believe it or not, there are no teeth in your stomach. The stomach can't chew the food for you. I once saw this 3D movie. It was just a demonstration at this theater. And they were showing the inside of a stomach, person eating. And you see that the stomach, and then dropping into the stomach is a whole tomato. They must have swallowed the tomato or something. Plump. But the stomach can't handle it. So the result is that one will get indigestion, and if we have indigestion, naturally our mind will become agitated also. And our whole system will become disturbed. So we have to chew the food. If we chew the food and we taste it, and we taste it in relationship to Krishna, and we don't eat too much or eat too little, then we'll have a good day. Otherwise, our day is destined to some disturbances. Therefore, we practice chanting Hare Krishna in the morning to control the tongue. So hopefully we get some taste from the holy name, so we don't try to focus all our energy on just the food, satisfying all our emotional problems that we didn't solve when we chanted Hare Krishna. We try to solve them by eating. People want to become aggressive and strong. Then they eat really hot food and they get fired up. Yeah, watch out. I'm on fire. I'm literally on fire. Or one wants to dull one's sentiments by eating sweets. You go, oh, everything is great. I'm walking around asleep. So we can actually try to satisfy our material desires subtly by eating. But they'll never be satisfied by that way. Because once the food goes through, once the taste goes through, for only a few moments, then again we'll have desires again. We'll feel passionate or angry. We'll feel desirous or whatever, greedy. So every taste, like bitter, has a taste. Generally, people don't like the bitter taste. They're trying to avoid it because it's real. It brings one into reality. Everyone likes sweet. Oh, the world is so sweet. Everything's fantastic. Just give me another Glubdiman and some more sweets. Wow, the world looks fantastic. Or astringent. People don't like astringent either because it causes one to think. Generally, astringency is tied in with fear, withdrawal, detachment. People don't like that. They want to enjoy. We've come here to enjoy, and that's our mood our mood that we try to eat. So people like salty, the salty food, inspires lust. In English, they have this saying about a salty sailor. So sailors come in from being on a ship for a long time. They come to some country or some city. They dock there, and then they go out and try to enjoy salt. Salt to taste. If you have just enough salt on the food, then it's tasty. If you have no salt, then it's tasteless. And if you have too much salt, then you'll get sick. So just enough salt. Salt and sweet, that's what people like. They like salt because it inspires their digestion. Then they can eat more sweets or pungent sometimes. People like pungent because it inspires the digestion and therefore one can have something sweet. But bitter and astringent and salty, sweet, sour. People also like sour because it also increases digestion. But too much sour, then one becomes bitter. Well, not bitter, envious. Like the fox who saw the grapes. And he kept on jumping to get the grapes, jumping, jumping, jumping. And ultimately, when he couldn't get the grapes, he said they were all sour. Any case, there are tastes, we need taste, and we need a variety of tastes. That's why in Ayurveda, the variety of tastes, a healthy, balanced meal means that all the tastes are there. Not only, you know, they have proteins and carbohydrates, whatever. But in the Ayurveda, all the tastes are there, so emotionally we become satisfied. Otherwise, we'll seek a balance outside of ourselves, outside of even food, in order to balance our consciousness, because we live in consciousness. We live in the mind, principally. We're trying to satisfy our mind even more usually than our senses. And the senses are considered one of the mind. In any case, one who has not learned to control the senses, one who has not learned how to control the mind, one who has not learned how to control the eating, which is the basic principle of sense and mind control, will not be able to control his other senses either. Prabhupada said there's a direct link between the tongue, belly, and genitals. If one cannot control the tongue, surely he won't be able to control his stomach or his genitals, and therefore everything becomes beautiful. Or everyone becomes beautiful. So much so in modern society, there are no restrictions, practically speaking. Now, people don't even identify themselves as male or female anymore. Whatever they get that day, whatever they feel like that day, they think they are. Because their tongue is uncontrolled, and therefore their minds and bellies and genitals are also uncontrolled, and therefore they're even less than the animals. Because there's no animal except for a human being who can eat everything. Tigers eat meat, pigs eat everything, but they don't eat meat usually. Only the human beings are, practically speaking, ones who can eat anything and everything. So, Vedic culture, if we want to be devotees, we have to control our sense of eating and our mind when we're eating also. It's not just eating, but it's also remember Krishna and relish prasadam, then our eating will be devotional. And if our eating is devotional, it's much more likely our activities will also be devotional during the day. And if the next 15 hours we're still digesting our breakfast, then our day will probably, it'll be struggle to be, have a devotional day. So, let's take prasadam and meditate on Krishna and chew the food also. That's why it's good to have some teeth. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Yes. There is a question from Avadhuta Raidas. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. If we do the duty of others, it's dangerous, according to my experience, sometimes to give a good advice can also be dangerous. What do you think?
To give good advice? Well, if people don't want the advice, if it's good advice, it can't be dangerous. Is that right? But if you give good advice to the wrong person, then that could be dangerous if they don't like the advice. They may put you in difficulty. Therefore, one should speak. The austerity of speech means that one should say things that don't agitate people's minds. If you speak to someone and they don't accept you as an authority, and you agitate their minds, then that's dangerous. And such speech should be pleasing and beneficial. So it may be beneficial, but if it's not pleasing, it's not according to the Vedas, and it agitates people's minds, then it may put one in difficulty. Anything else?
I heard that at the door of the temple Prabhupada said should be gulab jamuns. I never saw that in different temples. Why that was stopped?
Because the temple president, after he makes them, he eats them all. We've caught him. No, I mean, I probably may have said that in 26th Second Avenue when you had voracious people coming to the temple who had no idea how to control their tongue. Therefore, to attract them, he put gulab jamuns at the door of the temple, because otherwise they would never come. But that hopefully is not true nowadays. People will come even if there's not a jar of gulab jamuns at the door. It's time, place, and circumstance. And audience. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.